The FBI has joined a growing list of agencies who thought they were going to escape crumbling obsolete buildings. A deal to trade its downtown headquarters to a developer and move to Maryland is dead for now. Chris Liu knows what that feels like. As former Deputy Secretary of Labor, he was involved in a potential swap of the aging Perkins building that also fell through. He joins me in studio now with more. And Chris, good to have you back.
Thank you, Tom.
Tell us what happened at Labor.
When I joined the Department of Labor in 2014, we were faced with a 40-year-old building that had tens of millions of dollars of deferred maintenance. It really was not a building that met the needs of our employees. It had heating and cooling problems. It had a serious rodent problem. It had a lot of wasted space, no Wi-Fi. We thought about trying to get appropriations for it, and that was just not realistic in this current budgetary climate. So we explored the building exchange process that at that point had been undergone or had been started with the FBI. We made significant progress. And then when we got to January 2017, we were well on our way to the exchange process, and that was subsequently stopped by the Trump administration.
Now, when you were going to trade a building, what was your expectation that a developer would do with it, tear it down and use the parcel, or could they rehab that building?
Yeah, we looked at a bunch of different alternatives, whether it was selling part of, or exchanging part of the building, us keeping part of it, whether it was rehabbing the building. And the only one that really made sense was to exchange the location. The Francis Perkins building is literally within easy eyesight of the Capitol. It's between 2nd and 3rd Street on Constitution Avenue, really a prime location. And so the most important value, the highest value of the Perkins building was its location. So we were willing to go to a less desirable part of town and unlock the value of that building in much the same way that they're trying to do with the J. Edgar Hoover building, which is on, I think, 10th Street in Pennsylvania.
Ninth.
And
the Perkins building is near Judiciary Square. So from an amenities point of view, an access point of view, you're right over practically straddling 395 in D.C. So it was a good location. But I guess my question is, when the deal was canceled or fell through, first of all, what was the reaction that you're aware of from the contractors that might have been bidding for that space?
Well, the contractors had put in more than a year of work into putting together proposals, not as long as had been put in for the J. Edgar Hoover building. They've put, by all accounts, millions of dollars into their proposals. But there was significant disappointment among the potential developers, as well as among our employees. And it's, you know, fair to say that there were some mixed reactions from our employees. While they did not like the building, many of them had designed their carpool routes, their commuting routes with the building in mind. But when we were able to show them what a 21st century office looked like, I think the employees were encouraged and excited about it. And so I'm sure there's disappointment among them as well.
Where was Labor planning to move to?
Well, we didn't have a location picked out. By the time we had left, there were three possible locations. One was in the NoMa area, one was near the ballpark, and then one was across the river in Anacostia. And we were beginning the environmental process, the site review process, when it was stopped by the Trump administration.
And employees who may not like the building, as you say, it had rats and lots of different issues from a, you know, just a crumbling standpoint, get excited, even though it might be a multi-year process till they would actually pick up their boxes and drive across town. Could have been another 5 years or so. But nevertheless, there is a bounce in their step knowing they're going to get out of that place. What was the effect on employees when they found out, nope, you're here in the Perkins for the foreseeable future?
Well, I'll be honest. It happened after I left the Department of Labor, so I'm not sure. I've certainly heard through the grapevine, I think, a lot of questions asked. Well, if we're not going to get a new building, then what are we going to do with this existing building? Because I think there's a general awareness that there isn't enough money that's appropriate to fix it. They've also seen what has happened with other federal departments in town. Commerce and Interior are two good examples where they did try to rehab the buildings. The costs did escalate. The planned rehab time extended as well. And there was a lot of dislocation because once you rehab part of the building, those employees have to move out and you have to move twice instead of everyone just moving at one time.
We're speaking with Chris Liu, who is former Deputy Secretary of Labor, and I think the GSA underwent that experience. They moved out, but only partially redid the building downtown that was actually Interior many years ago. And so they have kind of a hybrid building, which is not, I don't think, anyone's sense of ideal.
Absolutely. You know, look, this exchange process that was begun or envisioned by the former GSA administrator, Dan Tangerlini, was, I think, a creative way to try to address the budgetary constraints that all federal agencies are under. And, you know, we recognize, we had hoped with Francis Perkins that we could do this exchange for not putting new money into the building. But even if there were a delta, even if there were additional money that had to be put in, it would be significantly less than building a brand new building.
What are the challenges for agencies, it seems, in making the case to rehab where they are, to keep it up to some sort of standards?
Well, absolutely. You know, the Francis Perkins Building is an unusual location, as you mentioned. You may have historical preservation issues. Fortunately, there are not. It's not a building that's in a great state.
It's not exactly a looker either.
No, it is not a looker. It's also an unusual location because it's built above 395, which creates a whole series of issues as well. You know, so we certainly looked at the cost of rehabbing the building, possibly only reducing the footprint in some way, but the costs were just astronomical, and we just had no sense that we could get that kind of money from Congress.
So it's really the deferring of maintenance that gets to be exponentially more expensive than doing the maintenance as you go. Metro has experienced this issue for they're affecting the whole region and many, many federal buildings.
Yeah, Tom, I remember very early on when I got there, the first summer I was there in 2014, I was wondering why the building was so hot in the afternoons. And it had turned out because of the sequestration, we had shut off the air conditioning an hour early. And I went to our folks and I said, well, that's crazy. Half the building faces the south side. It's southern exposure. It gets very warm. Can't we just turn the AC on for that side of the building? They said, this is a 40-year-old building. If you turn it on, you turn it on for the entire building, even the parts that you don't need. It's just a small example of the inefficiencies in that building. Very early on in 2014, we also asked our employees, what was their number one ask for how to improve the building? And they said, we want Wi-Fi in the building. And we said, look, this is a 40-year-old building. You can't easily wire this for Wi-Fi.
No, you'd have to probably put in 300 access points, and some of them have to be powered, and you'd have to go through a concrete floor to find a conduit, even if there was a wire going there.
Exactly. And so for all of these reasons and many other reasons, designing a brand new building that frankly would have a smaller footprint as well. You know, every year we would look at the amount of square footage we had per employee, and it was off the charts in terms of what GSA had expected of federal agencies, but we had no ability to reduce our footprint. We had a lot of dead spaces in that Francis Perkins Building that just weren't usable.
Chris Liu is former Deputy Secretary of Labor, now a senior fellow at the University of Virginia Miller Center. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.